Well, welcome everybody to another edition of the internationally syndicated Last Christian Radio Show. My name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. That's Mr. David Paxton there on your left, all the way from New York City. And David, today we're going to be talking about prophecy. As a matter of fact, we're going to spend probably three-quarters of the show on this topic. And this is the prophecy of moral inversion.
Ooh. And
so we'll get to that here. Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and pray us into the show, and then I'll let everybody know the rest of the topics we got today.
Oh, that should be fun and exciting. All right. So, Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for our new blood covenant that you've given us. We thank you that we can do your will and purposes and get your word out to the whole world. And we ask, Father, that you would reach that last Christian to be saved, and then you would return to gather your bride. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, as I said, I want to put some topics up here, and I want you guys to understand that the first two are going to go pretty fast. Okay, the week in review I'm going to do differently than I have ever done before, and that's
ever.
Because I fired Simon. I have completely got rid of him. Now, we're also going to be talking about a foiled terror attack there in Israel that nobody wants to talk about. I've seen very, very little reporting on it, and what I have seen is incomplete. And then we're going to talk about the prophecy of moral inversion. That is really the only thing that I want to focus on today. So let's get all this other stuff out of the way as fast as we can. And we're just going to start here with our week in review. We're looking at the Ukraine conflict and international relations, the U.S.-Russia peace negotiations. Now, you guys can read over that if you want to. Stop it and read over it if you're watching this on video form there, but basically Ukraine is trying to hold up things because they don't want to comply, and they're trying to kind of fighting with President Trump, which is never a good idea. They will lose that, I guarantee you. Then you got the political
best idea.
Yeah, political developments here in the United States with the workforce reductions from the Trump administration. Of course, Dodge is doing a great job there, the Department of Government Efficiency. And you can see that President Trump is actually calling Zelensky a dictator right now. And I don't think anybody in Europe can really do much about it, to be honest with you. And then now this one, I don't know, you may want to comment on, David, I have no idea, but the Pope Francis has been hospitalized, and now I'm getting some reports that he is going to resign due to his issues there. So have you heard anything?
Two in a row. That's unprecedented.
Yeah. And wasn't he supposed to be the last pope?
Yeah. Petrus Romanus. If you follow, Skywatch, Tom Horn wrote a book, and the Pope Malachi from like 100,000 years ago, whatever he was, he actually wrote a prophecy book way back then and named all of the successive popes up until this final one of Petrus Romanus, which is very interesting. And it, like, he called it. So I don't know. I didn't actually read his prophecy, but I just, I heard him speak about it a lot.
Yeah.
Cause I don't know if I put much credence in, a pope's prophecies, but it's just interesting that they all came to pass and he named them all way ahead of time.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if it's like Nostradamus where they kind of read into it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it's actual prophecy that the guy got, but now you can, now that this is happening, now I want to go look it up.
Yeah, for real. Yeah.
And if he's the last one, then, we should be out of here today.
Well, that's exactly what I was thinking. This may, because it takes them a while, even after a pope dies or whatever, it takes them a while. But I do know this, that the Swedish guard that does the funeral stuff for the Pope, all the guarding stuff, they're already practicing. So, that tells you something right there. And you were talking about this guy was supposed to be the last Pope. Well, the Dalai Lama is supposed to be the last of the Dalai Lamas, right?
No, so, him too? I don't know.
Yeah. So, who knows? Maybe we are, God works in mysterious ways. That's all I can say about that. Okay.
So the question becomes, were these prophecies, where did they come from?
Mm-hmm,
are they from the throne of God, or are they demonic prophecies?
Right, exactly. And that's something that, you know, what's the scripture, David? You're supposed to...
verify.
Weigh it out. I forget. Okay.
It's like the Berean. Do like they do in Berea and check the scriptures to see if it's true. And then rightly divide the word of truth. Yep.
Right. All right. Let's look at this one now. This was just a couple of days ago, February the 20th. A coordinated bombing attempt targeting public buses in central Israel, specifically the city of Batyam near Tel Aviv. There was three empty buses that exploded in separate parking lots. Now, I'm not going to read all this because there's a whole lot to this that is not reported. Actually, here's what happened. There was a lady on board a bus in Israel. She reported to the bus driver that there was a bag on that bus that nobody in that area, it didn't belong to anybody.
Right.
The bus driver was smart enough at that point to get everybody off the bus. When he got everybody off the bus exploded.
Mm.
Now, there was
How soon after that? It was really fast.
Yeah, it was just a matter of, I don't know if it was seconds or minutes, but it was really quick. And there was two more that went off at the same time. Mm. They then closed down the entire bus system. No more buses were running. Now, this was late. This was at something, I think it was 9 p.m. Israel time.
Correct.
When this happened. Now, they found a timer on another bus. There were over 20 buses that were involved in this. That's something that they're not reporting. Okay. There was over 20 buses that had these bombs on board. And there were five terrorists that they're still looking for, at least a couple of them, that were suicide bombers.
Mm-hmm.
And they all came from inside Israel. These were not people that came from Gaza or whatever. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not to say they weren't a part of that organization.
No, they weren't. They were some of the released hostages, from what I understand.
So then... you've got all these buses that are scheduled, and here's why it messed up on them. Whoever set the timers didn't understand time. So they were trying to set the timer for 9 a.m. Israel time, which is when everybody's in transit going to work or going to, you know, wherever. It was designed to be a mass casualty event. But instead, all these buses, for at least for the most part, were located in parking lots, and they were empty.
Mm-hmm.
So they are, even in Israel, they're calling it a miracle. And I believe it definitely was a miracle. David, what do you think?
Yes. As far as it goes, they mistimed it. So obviously somebody messed up with their brains that they put 9 p.m. instead of 9 a.m. And this was on the day that they were celebrating is the word. They were doing the funerals for the people who came back. And word has it that a lot of these, even the suicide bombers, were from inside, but they were the people that they were released as part of the agreement. And some of those people released were actually bombers from the past, because we haven't heard of bus bombing for many, many years. And these people were locked up. Now they come out and all of a coincidence that they're bombing buses again.
Yeah.
So maybe in jail they lost track of how to time things. I don't know. But and people say, oh, it's the hand of God and it's a miracle and this and that. Well, why didn't he stop the original thing as well, you know? So that's that.
Yeah, you just never know.
Yeah,
we aren't privy to God's plan, as the way I always address that. You know, it's just, you just never know.
I'm sorry.
Now, David, they released six more hostages today. They finally got back the body of the mom that was involved with the two little babies that were choked to death by Hamas. Mm-hmm. They finally got her back, but then, deceased. So the only person that survived out of that group was the husband. But there were six more hostages released today, and two of them were actually had been held for over 10 years. These were just civilians who happened to go into Gaza under their own, they just decided on their own that they were going to go into Gaza, and they were taken hostage, and they spent the last 10 years there, and so they were released today. And I have no idea, I have got no more information on those two. I have no idea why they went in there. From the names I saw, it looked like they were probably Muslims, but I can't even confirm that. Do you know anything about that at all? I mean, that just came out this morning.
No, I hadn't heard that one. I did hear about the buses, but I didn't hear anything about all the other people. Now, I'm sure that's going to be coming out in the news, so maybe we'll do that on the next show.
Okay. All right. Well, I want to give you guys now, we're going to move on to the prophecy of moral inversion here. Mm-hmm. And, I try to keep our show fresh and, give you information on what's happening right now, and then also put it into biblical perspective. And you're going to get a lot of that today.
It's going to be good.
I want you to listen to this report, because this report is what, after I saw this, I mean, seconds into it, I said, that's our show. Let's listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Fox News and Common Sense Department is perplexed at how many Americans are openly and happily living in upside down, inside out, blatantly backward society, where outrage is consistently pointed in the wrong direction. Nothing highlights the argument better than the debate over Elon Musk and Doge, where a large segment of the left is not one bit angry at the hundreds of billions of dollars of wasted taxpayer money, but is irate at the man who was locating and alleviating hundreds of billions of dollars in wasted taxpayer money. It's an upside down world when Elon Musk is castigated, but Luigi Mangione is celebrated, applauded for allegedly shooting and killing a healthcare executive in cold blood. The world is inside out when praising those who killed 1,200 Jews is considered opinion, but making America healthy again is considered voodoo witch doctory. Maybe Billy Joel is right. Maybe we didn't start the fire, but we have certainly fanned the flames of fabulism, where Russian collusion is true and a certain laptop is bogus, where Joe Biden is healthy and Donald Trump is Hitler. Common sense thinks the lies and hate that have become normal and tolerable are now untenable. It's no longer just about cutting waste. It's about turning society right side up, right side out, and forward.
Okay. Real short report there from Trace Gallagher, Fox News, on his late night show. Mm-hmm. And like I said, that got me to thinking, David, about, let me get to this one here real quick.
Yeah. Quite astute, I must say.
Yeah. The Bible warns about a time when moral standards will be inverted, where good is called evil and evil is called good. And I see it every day. I know that for sure. You look at Isaiah 5:20. It says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." The verse speaks to a time when moral corruption is so widespread that people distort truth and righteousness. So I'm going to stop right there for a minute and ask you, do you agree with that?
Oh, I mean, 100%. That's we've been expecting this, and we've been seeing it even back when I started teaching in like the 80s and the 90s. You saw it starting back then. It was just getting. Now it's just ridiculous. It's blatant right now.
Absolutely.
But that's good. It's like the birth pains. They get closer. They get faster. Right. They get stronger. So here we are. Yeah. The water broke. It's time. Time for the birth.
Yeah. And, you know, the reason I've got PowerPoints built on this, because it would have taken me weeks to put together all the slides that came up here that I needed to show you guys. But I wanted to make today's show scripture filled. I mean, just nice. To where there's absolutely no doubt about what we're talking about here. So let's look at Micah 6:8. He showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now, that verse reinforces that God's standards for good and evil are unchanging. That's a very, very important point there, unchanging. In other words, God doesn't change the way he does things based on what we want. We're supposed to change what we do based on what God says. I think that's pretty clear. Proverbs 17:15, he that justifieth the wicked and he that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. This warns about justifying wrongdoers while punishing the innocent. And on that one, David, I'm going to stop for a second, because that's like that, I forget his name, like Luigi whatever, that that snuck up behind a healthcare executive and shot him in the back like a coward, and now all of a sudden you've got a whole bunch of people that are praising him. I even saw one lady, they interviewed her and said, well, if that had been your dad, what would you have thought about that? You're not going to believe the answer. Okay, but you know, if the healthcare executive had been your dad, what would your feelings be toward this guy then? And she said, well, I don't even think I would have gone to his funeral. Now that is it's unbelievable. Go ahead, David.
That shows you the depravity of people's hearts these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, it's like, as in the days of Noah, and it's what Jesus said, it'll be like the days of Noah, when people, the thoughts of their hearts were continually evil, continually wicked. And that's the problem here. We're getting to that point where they don't even understand why that's wicked. You know, they think they're right. They'll call up, down, and they'll call wrong, right, and they'll call inside, outside, and wow, yeah.
Well, you know, the Bible said it. The Bible said it. You know, and that's what we're gonna. That's what
I think
we're
going. Libtard would be a good word.
Yeah, for real. Okay. We looked at Proverbs already. Let's go to the next one here, which. Second Timothy 3:1-5. This know also, that in the days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, with natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, that passage, David, describes moral decline of society in the last days, highlighting self-centeredness, rebellion, and a rejection of truth. And I know we've talked about this before, but you've got a lot of insight on that, so I'm going to let you go with this one.
Yeah, I mean, we see this all the time. Without the natural affection, and so he's talking about, you know, homosexuality there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yep.
Truce breakers. That's, you know, you make a contract with someone, and they don't keep it. You know, it's like why even bother? Even Chuck Missler said that a lot. He said, I couldn't believe even how when he was working in the world. He said the people, you know, your word was your bond back in the day, and now.
Right.
You working with these Christian leaders all over, he says that they can't even hold their own word all the time. And here we see that.
Mm-hmm.
But everything here, traitors, heady, high-minded, so they think that's a big one. They think, oh, I'm morally superior to you because I'm an evolutionist and I don't believe in your sky fairy. So it's like, seriously? Hello.
Yeah,
you're gonna have to answer to that sky fairy very shortly.
Very shortly, yeah.
You know, and they deny his power, so they think, "Oh, well, yeah, okay, God, that's great." We even have family members say, well, I'm not really into God. That's going to be a problem.
That's okay? going to be a very, very big problem.
Because now you're going to get before the throne. He says, well, I'm not really into you. So you're going to have to go into the lake of fire.
Yeah, I have often wondered what that is going to look like. I mean, obviously I'm going to stand before the Bema seat, as will you. But for those that are going to stand before the great white throne, I wonder if they're going to have that, already know what's happening, if the enlightenment has hit them yet, or if that happens at the moment Jesus speaks. I've often wondered what that would look like.
Well,
do you have any insight?
There's a lot, yeah. I mean, if you look at people with, they call them NDEs, near-death experience, when you read their stories, and some of them are just flaky and they had dreams, but some of them are real, and you could tell, hey, this person really died. And even some attributes or stories about atheists that have died, or Satan worshipers that have died, and they're like, oh my God, this is, I see it now. I'm completely wrong.
Yeah,
and they were terrified, absolutely terrified. And then some people were given grace to come back, and they said that instant that you pass over, you know that everything that you were told is real. Okay. There's no questioning about it. That's why he says, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess, because you will. You will have no choice. It's not like, well, I'm not going to do it. No, you will. The problem is you'll be doing it from Hades. You know, you won't be doing it before his throne, but you will bow, and you will, you will have to say, because it's the only truth. It's what we live in is a shadow of a much greater reality. What we live in here, and we think this is our world. It's real. You know, this is all. It's not. If you know how much space is in what we call solid, it doesn't even compare. You know, the percentage. This is nothing. It's a mere illusion, this reality that we think we live in now, compared to the real reality.
Okay, let's look at the next one here, 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they leap to themselves, teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away from the ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Now, this predicts a time when people will reject truth in favor of lies that align with their desires. And I mentioned this on a show a couple of shows ago, where there was a lady posting on a social media site that, anybody know where there's a good liberal church? In other words, let me find a place where I can do what I want to do, that, and she called everybody else being judgmental. I'm thinking that they probably weren't judgmental. They were probably trying to say, you have to adjust to the Lord. The Lord doesn't adjust to you. That's basically what I think happened there. You have any comments on that real quick?
Yeah, that's part of, the last verse as well. I mean, this just basically follows up on it, and they have the itching ears. They want to hear what they want to hear,
right?
And they have their own truth, and that you hear that a lot today. They'll say, "Oh, you have your truth, and I have my truth." It's like, no, there is no your truth and my truth. Like all of a sudden, you could go back and you were born just a few years ago. All of a sudden, you know the truth about everything.
Yeah,
no, God knows the truth. Okay, and it's a matter of listening to Him. You can't make up your own.
No.
All right? And so here we are in this society where people think, oh, your truth and my truth, and that's how they comfort themselves and get over with. And you know what? Satan doesn't care.
No.
You know, he's like, listen, you don't have to worship me. I just want you to not worship the real Jesus.
Right. Yeah.
Okay? Because that's what's going to, in his mind, destroy the kingdom and the prophecies.
Yeah. Yeah, even though he knows what's coming, he doesn't believe it some kind of way. I'm not really sure how that works, but,
Well, what else? What other choice does he have?
I mean, not much. Not much.
There's no choice. You got to try, I guess, right?
Right. Okay, let's look at this one. This is Romans 1, 28 through 32. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That verse warns about a time when people not only commit evil, but also celebrate and encourage others to do the same. The scriptures reflect the moral confusion and inversion of values that are characteristic of the last days. And again, I go back to that that guy that shot the individual in the back. You know, that takes a lot of courage. And all these people that are supporting him. I don't get it, David. I don't think we got time for any more in this half, and we got a bunch to go here. But you want to comment on that one, and then anything that you want to take us out the first half?
Yeah, I mean, we see this is similar to 2 Timothy, so it's again, people don't understand that this is worthy of death.
Mm-hmm.
So, because the wages of sin is death.
Right.
And so that's what it is. And he gave them over. So here you got to realize this. They didn't want to believe in God. So God put these things on them. So we think homosexuality, that's the sin that caused them to go away from God. No, they went away from God. So God basically put homosexuality on them. That's the punishment. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he put all this stuff on them. It says here, he gave them over to a reprobate mind to do these things which are not convenient, as the King James says. They're not good. The fact that you think you know better than God, that's why he put all these things on you. That's why you're wicked. That's why there's fornication. That's why there's covetousness, maliciousness, envy, and murder. It's because you deny the power of God. So he's like, fine, this is what you get. And it's not a pretty thing. So we as human beings, we know we were sinners, okay? And if you're not saved yet, still a sinner, you have to admit that. You have to confess your sins, say, yes, I'm a sinner. You have to say, Jesus, I want you to I accept your contract, and I want your gift of free salvation that you give to me. And this way, when you give that over to him, renounce your old contract, take on his new blood contract, then you can be in heaven with him for eternity. We'll see you in the second half.
Are you weighed down by life's issues and challenges? Do you need rest from the day-to-day grind? Then the Word of God broadcast is your listening station. The Word of God broadcast is a Christ-centered ministry, sharing God's marvelous word. Here you will find you rest from the things of the world. Join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on Revelation Radio Broadcast. The Word of God broadcast plants the seeds, and the Holy Spirit adds the essential nutrients to ensure every soul's growth for the harvest of Jesus' soon return. If you want to learn more about God's Word, eternal life, and His Son, Jesus Christ, join us each Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern or 6 p.m. Central Time on KRRB Revelation Radio.
Ready to start your day on a new level? Meet Everyday Dose, the coffee alternative that's more than just a caffeine fix. Check out more and grab your first dose at everydaydose.com/hiddenday. Why it's different. Everyday Dose combines premium coffee with brain-boosting ingredients like mushrooms and collagen, giving you focus, energy, and mental clarity without the jitters or crashes. It's the clean energy your body craves. Check out these benefits you'll love. Say goodbye to coffee crashes. Boost your mental clarity and focus. Support your immune system and overall wellness. Feel energized naturally without the anxiety or jitters. Perfect for busy professionals, health enthusiasts, or anyone ready to upgrade their daily routine. Again, that's everydaydose.com/hiddenday.
KRRB Grand Saline, Canton, Mineola, Texas.
Are you ready to deepen your walk with Jesus? Join Norman Smith on Run with Horses, the weekly radio show dedicated to helping you follow Jesus well. In Jeremiah 12:5, God challenges us to pick up the pace and prepare to run with horses. Jesus calls us to take up our cross and follow him. The journey is tough, but always worth it. Tune in every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central on revelationradio.net for an all-new edition of Run with Horses. Explore topics like biblical discipleship, healthy marriage, and building a godly family. Don't miss Run with Horses every Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 p.m. Central, right here on KRRB, revelationradio.net. For more information or to listen to past broadcasts, be sure to visit runwithhorses.net.
And welcome back, everybody, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams here in Texas. This is Mr. David Paxton there in New York. And, David, I just put this on screen, and I'm going to do it again, because what we're going to get now is the key takeaways from the scripture that we addressed in the first half of the show. So you look at this. Number one, the danger of justifying wickedness. This comes from Proverbs 17:15. He that justifies the wicked and that condemneth the just, even they both are an abomination to the Lord. Then you got Exodus 23:7. Keep thee far from a false matter, and the innocent and righteous slay thou not, for I will not justify the wicked. And then Malachi 2:17, ye have wearied the Lord with your words, yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him, when ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment? Now that last one is a little bit hard to understand. Can you get into that a little bit, David?
Yeah, that's actually what people say is where is God? How come if there's so much death in the world, where is God? How come babies die? How come we have all this evil? Where's God? So that proves that there is no God, because he's allowing evil, or else he's an evil God. Mm-hmm. So this is kind of the inflections that they're doing, where if your God is so just, why does he let this happen?
Yeah,
you heard that a thousand times,
right? Yeah, hear that a lot. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it's your fault that it happened, not his.
Right. But, yeah, just, he hadn't put that together yet, right. So now you got the corruption of society and leaders. Ecclesiastes 3:16, and moreover I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that inequity was there. Jeremiah 23:14, I've seen also in the prophets of Jerusalem a horrible thing. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They strengthen also the hands of evildoers, that none doth return from his wickedness. They are all of them unto me as Sodom, and the inhabitants thereof as Gomorrah. Ezekiel 22:26, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the Holy Spirit and profane, neither have they showed differences between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. You want to comment on that one?
Yeah, it's amazing that, I mean, we're only on number two, mm-hmm. and the amount of information that the Bible has on the people going completely against God is just astounding mm-hmm. to me. But it's clear, because now no one can say, oh, well, how did I know I was wicked? Well, he laid it out in the entire word.
Right.
And remember, the word is a contract. So he's like, hey, this is what happened. Bing, 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 bing. Mm-hmm. And this is why you're evil, you know? And the law is the schoolmaster, as Paul calls it, mm-hmm. to teach you all the things that you're doing wrong, so you know that you should repent, rescind your signature off of that stuff, mm-hmm. And then accept him in his new contract. That's all laid out as well. It's in the Bible. After he says, okay, these are all the evil things that you're doing, but this is how you get out of it. You know, he has borne your iniquity, it says. But then if there isn't a list of the iniquities, then what do you, okay, you bore what? What iniquity? What? Okay. But now it's fully explained. You're doing this and 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 this, and that's what you need to be saved from.
Right. Okay. Let's look at number three. This is people loving darkness instead of light. John 3:19-20. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest the deeds should be reproved. Then there's Romans 1:21-22. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12, and with all deceitfulness, I can't even say that word, David, deceitfulness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, and I think we're on that right now, send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, let me get back to the light in a second, but this is the third time we see that God will send them a strong delusion.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
So all of these things harken back to the fact that they wanted to do things their own way.
Right.
Okay. And one of our Bible study shows, we talked about darkness as an entity. You know, we think scientifically darkness is just the absence of light. Mm-hmm. Well, in that surface sense, yes. But in a spiritual sense, it's actually an entity that has, you know, substance, if you would. Mm-hmm. Darkness is a substance, like the black hole, you know, it's a thing.
Uh-huh, right.
But it's a real thing, but it's not just the absence of light, because light is in a black hole. Mm-hmm. It just can't get out. Mm-hmm. You see, because there's so much mass and so much gravity that even light particles can't escape from it.
Right.
So there's where we're at. The people, they refuse to see light. Now, who is the light?
Jesus
is the light.
Mm-hmm, right.
So he is the all of creation, and everything that exists because of light. We measure time by light speed. Mm-hmm. We measure, you know, the light is what forms our molecules, okay, because it's the electrons and such going around there, which are formed with protons. So now you got all these different things that are formed with light, and you're going to say, well, okay, well, I don't want to believe the light. Well, then there you go. You're not going to have space. You're not going to have time. And that's what the Bible says. You're not going to have any of these things. And without space and time and matter, you can't eat. You don't have any water, you know, but you still exist because you're information.
Right.
Okay. You're just information. And information is eternal. It doesn't have a time state. So you are going to exist forever in your information state. Problem is, you won't have any of these things that you hate. If you love darkness, there's no construct of light for that, because everything we love is constructed with light, and Jesus is the light of the world. The throne is full of light. His face shines, you know, with immense amount of light.
Right.
And so it really has a lot deeper meaning than, oh, just light and dark. Comparing black and white on a page. No, it's the very fabric of our existence is light. And if you don't want that, then you wind up, and when the Bible says that, okay, there's darkness, there's gnashing of teeth, and the worm dieth not, that's an idiom for time doesn't pass.
Right.
Okay, because the worm, you know, the worm lives and dies immediately. Mm-hmm. Like, and the fruit flies and all those things. He said, well, it's not going to, okay? Because now it exists in the eternal state.
Yeah, in the worm, isn't that a way of saying constantly you're reminded about the opportunities that you had that you turned away?
Well, you will be, because it will be laid out before you. Remember, all of time is compressed into that one moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's eternity. You know?
Yeah,
and that, then you're there. So you'll forever be faced with the fact that you rejected light.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And now who's light? Jesus is the
Jesus
light.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, right. We don't like Jesus. Okay. We got a problem.
Yeah. Big one. Big one. Mm-hmm. All right. That leads us to number four here. The last days, the distortion of truth. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Yeah, we've read all that. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they keep themselves teachers. There's the itching ears thing again. Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. I'm going to keep going here with this one. Number five, staying rooted in God's truth. Psalm 119:142, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and the law is the truth. Micah 6:8, he showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to justify and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. And I think we kind of touched on that one earlier. So anyway, go ahead, David. I know you got comments on those.
Yeah, a lot of them was a little bit of rehashing from a different point of view. So what we want to do is keep in the light. You know, we walk in the light as he is in the light. And that brings us down to this. Well, what does that look like? Well, he wrote it in his word. Okay. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
So it just forms it. And when we think about that, words are literally everything in the universe. Our contracts are made with words. Okay. When we stand before the throne, it's words. What words are you going to say? All words, it's information, and that's where the root of everything is. So we got to say, like here, have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So we don't hang out with darkness, okay? Right. And then there's spirits that come, and a lot of them, sometimes they come as an angel of light. So they'll come and say certain things, but it's twisted just enough to say, well, that's not really coming from the light. So right. Don't believe every spirit, but try the spirits.
Yeah.
So in 1 John, it even further says that. So how do you know which are the false spirits? And this is a key. I'm not sure if you're going to get into this later, but this is one of the keys. How do we know if it's a false spirit? So if we go to 1 John 4:2, let's actually bring it up.
Okay.
Okay. It says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. You ready? This is how you know. He says, okay. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God.
Amen.
This is the spirit of Antichrist. Where have you heard it should come, and even now already it is in the world. Okay? Yeah. Now we see Antichrist starting to come. Now, after Jesus was walking on the earth here, these are the spirits that came. No. That really wasn't, that's not the Savior. That's not God. That's not God. So here's the deal. Here's how this works. You have sinned and you fall short of the glory of God. Okay, you broke the original contract. It says don't eat that, because if you do eat that, you will die in the day that you eat of it. So the wages of sin is death. That's the contract. Now, that has to be paid. It was made with man, so it has to be a man who pays off that debt, correct?
Right.
All right, so you have to pay off that debt, because it says in that day you shall surely die. But God... And Jesus was sent as the only begotten Son, the Godhead Jesus came down, and he became a man. in order to pay off that sin debt that you have.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So here's a problem. If Jesus is not come in the flesh, then he didn't become a man and therefore is not qualified to pay off your sin debt.
Right.
So if you're a Jehovah's Witness or if you're a Mormon or whatever, okay, and you do not think that Jesus Christ was God Almighty, came down as a man, then your sins are not paid for yet.
Right.
And you have to pay for them with mm-hmm. death. Mm-hmm. Death is separation from God in that light.
Forever.
That's a huge problem.
Yeah.
So, and there's all sorts of different types. I mean, Mormons are basically just Muslims Americanized.
Mm-hmm.
They think that, you know, Jesus and Satan were brothers and they just had a big fight, but Jesus was the good guy and that's why he inherited his whole planet. And then when you die, then you can inherit your own planet if you fought that good fight too,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which is why they're all so nice, because they're trying to win a planet. Problem is, when they get there, it's like, well, if Jesus wasn't God, then your sins aren't paid for.
Right. Yeah.
Because it was only he was only one entity. God mm-hmm. is infinite. So it had to be God himself to pay for everybody's sin. Mm-hmm. So now you got a problem. And then the Jehovah's Witnesses, similar thing. They believe he was a prophet. Okay, well, if he's not God, if it wasn't Jesus Christ come in the flesh, mm-hmm. then your sins aren't paid for. Then there's people that say, well, Jesus never came down and he didn't become a man. He was just a vision. The Gnostics are like, oh, he was just mm-hmm. a ghost and he came down. No. He had to become a man.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So if he didn't, no matter, I don't care how smart you are and how much you learned, if Jesus did not become a man, then your sins are not paid for.
Right.
That's huge. You're gone. You're lost if your mm-hmm. sins aren't paid for, because now you got to pay for them.
Yeah.
I can go on forever, but you go.
No, that's good. That's good. So let's look here. We're getting to the conclusion of this topic here, you think, but we're really not. Okay. The biblical perspective on today's world, the warnings in the Bible about calling evil good and good evil are highly relevant in today's world. The moral confusion that Isaiah spoke of is evident in many aspects of modern society, where values and principles are often distorted or redefined to fit cultural, political, or personal preferences rather than absolute truth. So number one here, we've got the rise of moral relativism. I think is how you say it. Anyway, one of the biggest shifts in today's world is the rejection of absolute moral standards. Many societies embrace moral relativism. Man, I wish I could make my mouth work. The belief that right and wrong are subjective and depend on personal or cultural perspectives. This directly contradicts the Bible's teachings, which affirm that God's righteousness is unchanging. And there you can reference Psalm 119:142, and then actions once universally considered sinful, such as dishonesty, greed, and immorality, are often excused or even celebrated. Speaking out against sin is frequently labeled as intolerance or hate speech, while those who promote ungodly values are praised as progressive and enlightened. And you look at 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers and having itching ears. David?
Mm-hmm. And here we are. The time will come.
Mm-hmm.
They call themselves progressive.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
Here they are. And, you know, oh, you're a bigot if you don't like homosexuality. And it's like,
right.
Okay, let's go through this again. Okay.
Actually, I have a whole teaching on that. Probably going to do next week.
Okay.
Because we're going to look at God's perspective. And you're right. We've covered it a little bit, but we've never really gotten into deep with Scripture. And I got a bunch of it, and I know we're not going to get to it today. So you can go ahead and summarize, and then next week we'll really get into it. Go ahead.
Yeah. So it's – and people think – and you know what? It's sometimes they're right. They think, oh, you just hate people and this and that, and you're being judgmental and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. No, we're judging the sin. And to some extent, the people are right, because – There are many churches, and the church today, particularly in America, is very judgmental. But I mm-hmm. wouldn't really call that the true church of God. Mm-hmm. There's some that say, "Oh, you're a fag, or you're a homo, mm-hmm. and this and that and the mm-hmm. other," and they're condemning the person,
right? Which okay. we're not supposed to do, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. which, Jesus didn't do that. He didn't condemn the person unless they, specifically said, no, you're wrong and mm-hmm. I'm right. He mm-hmm. did condemn the Pharisees because they mm-hmm. thought they were righteous when they really weren't. And it was more the religious folks. Jesus was the biggest anti-religious person ever. He hates religion, mm-hmm. and people don't get that. But we're out here and we're condemning the thing. Well, if a guy was... on drugs, you're like, yeah, you shouldn't be doing that, and you're mad, and this and that and the other, but you don't condemn the person. You seek to help them.
Right.
Hey, mm-hmm. can I help you? Mm-hmm. If they don't want to be helped, that's another story. But now they're like, hey, some people are looking for help. Well, homosexuality, they're looking for help. They're looking mm-hmm. for something, and they think that's going to help. They're angry. They're mad, and it's like a backlash. If they're thieves and robbers, there's something wrong there, and they can be saved. Mm-hmm. So we condemn the thievery. We condemn the homosexuality. We condemn the immoral lifestyle, let's mm-hmm. say. But we shouldn't condemn the person.
Yeah, and person just real quick, before saved. I forget it, think back when Jesus was here, and they found the lady, they said they caught her in the act of adultery or whatever,
right?
And they're ready to stone her, and yep. Jesus said, okay, those who have no sin cast the first stone, and they all left a little bit at a time, and he looked at her because he was fully justified and could have, and he said, I'm not going to condemn you either, just don't do it anymore and go away. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty drastic. Is it the same thing with the woman at the well, mm-hmm. With multiple husbands or whatever, Jesus not only talked the talk, he walked the walk. That's the only way mm-hmm. I can break it down into now today terms. Go ahead, David. I'm sorry to have interrupted.
No, that's fine. So there we are. We condemn the sin and realize that it has a hold on these people. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, if they come to a point where there's like, no, I want this, that's mm-hmm. that's a different story, okay? Right. But for the most part, when people don't want this, but then now if they deny God, he gives them over, and then all these things start to take over, and that's where mm-hmm. we are at the end of the age.
Yeah, the retrograde mind thing, yeah.
Correct. Mm-hmm. But then I hearken back to where Michael the Archangel was wrestling with the devil, and he even said, who am I to, rail on dignitaries, basically. So mm-hmm. Satan originally had a very high ranking in the kingdom, mm-hmm. and it's got to be God himself who judges at the right time. Mm-hmm. And that's mm-hmm. where we're at. So these people are still alive. They still have a choice of receiving the Lord and gaining their salvation.
Right up okay. to the last breath.
Even I think Dahmer, if I'm not mistaken, received mm-hmm. the Lord in prison, and now he preaches.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So
it's hard to believe that the Lord would save him, but that just goes to show you that no one is exempt from it. I mean, you can accept the Lord Jesus Christ at any time, right up until your very last breath. But if you haven't done mm-hmm. it before you take that last breath, you got a bad ride coming.
Yeah, and you never know, because it might be something on a bus, and right. you don't have time. Mm-hmm. So, but here at the end of this age, it will become more prevalent. They will not endure this sound doctrine. Mm-hmm. So on mm-hmm. one half, we have the Christians not enduring. The doctrine is, hey, pray for them that they'll receive the Lord. And when he said send them out of the congregation, he didn't mean just, ban them forever. He meant mm-hmm. put them out so they realize what they're missing, and they'll right. repent so they can come back.
Right.
And that's really where we're at. But it'll get so bad at the end of the age that people won't even want that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, let's keep going here because some of it I think is covered. This is injustice and the corruption in leadership. Just as Proverbs 17:15 warns against justifying the wicked and condemning the righteous, today's legal and political systems often fail to uphold true justice. Criminals are sometimes treated more favorably than victims. Leaders in various sectors, including politics, media, and entertainment, push deceptive narratives that distort truth for personal gain. Those who stand up for biblical principles or biblical values are often marginalized, while those who promote ungodliness are elevated. Again, you look at Isaiah 5:23, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous for him. And then number three here, the celebration of darkness over light. John 3:19-20 explains that people reject the light because their deeds are evil. Entertainment, social media, cultural glorifies sin, violence, immorality, greed, while mocking or ignoring biblical values. Truth is often suppressed, and those who speak it are ridiculed or silenced. Where have we dealt with that in the last few years? In contrast, deception is widely accepted as truth, aligning with 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12, which warns that those who reject truth will be given over to that strong delusion. Only got a couple left here, David. Let me go ahead and get them out of the way, and then I'll let you comment on everything here. The redefinition of good and evil, as in Ezekiel 22:26, where the people fail to distinguish between the holy and the profane. Today's world constantly blurs the lines between righteousness and sin. Biblical definitions of marriage, sexuality, and gender are being replaced with self-defining identities. Life itself is devalued, as seen in issues like abortion and euthanasia. Sin is often repackaged as personal freedom, while biblical teachings on holiness and obedience are dismissed as outdated or oppressive. Then you've got the call to stay rooted in truth in the midst of the moral confusion. The Bible calls believers to stand firm in God's word and not conform to the world. We've got several verses there, Romans 12:2. Ephesians 5:11, but we must seek discernment and test everything against God's truth. 1 John 4:1 says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God." We've mentioned that a couple of times, but that's extremely important in my opinion. And then lastly here, the final thoughts, hope in God's unchanging truth. Despite the increasing deception in the world, God's truth remains steadfast. The Bible forewarns us of these times, but it also provides guidance and strength to navigate them. Jesus assured us in John 16:33 that although we will face tribulation in the world, we can have peace because he has overcome the world. And I didn't leave you much time, David. You got a little over a minute, but go ahead.
But it was wonderful stuff. We love the word. Let's focus on that. John 16:33, it does say we will have peace because he has overcome the world. And then back into Colossians, he said, you know, he blotted out those contracts against us and paraded these demons around.
Amen.
He made fun of them, made an open mockery of them because he has overcome this age. Okay. And that's what that means, is this paradigm that people live in. He has overcome all that. And that's the contract. So remember, you broke your original contract with God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that probably becomes, because he said, this is the blood of the new contract. Mm-hmm. So all you have to do is receive that contract. He's offering it to you. Take your signature off the old one. Put your signature on the new one. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Follow the Lord Jesus. And then you can come with us when we're raptured and we go to heaven to be with Jesus. So Lord willing, we'll see you next time. You guys have a blessed day.
Thanks again for joining us today for The Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net until the trumpet sounds.
Looking for bold, faith-filled inspiration? tune in to The Last Christian Radio Show, available on KRRB Revelation Radio 1700 AM in East Texas and internationally syndicated in over 160 countries on revelationradio.net. This powerful program dives into faith, hope, and salvation. Join us every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Central for life-changing conversations and messages.